It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin reflects a nationwide trend. Deaths by suicide are rising. We shed light on local community work to prevent these tragedies. And please take care, as this is a sensitive conversation. There is help through 988, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, providing confidential and free support. As we discuss mental health and suicide prevention, you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sue Mitchell-Metz is a death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist and community advocate in Fond du Lac. Sue, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Looking at that CDC report, suicide rates rising in Wisconsin. Last year, 16 more residents died by suicide statewide than in 2021. Does this uptick mirror what you're observing in our state?
Yes, it does. Unfortunately, we do believe that it has some relationship to COVID with the lack of socialization and not being able to be out in the community. But I think there's still research being done on that for sure.
Does the rise concern you? Do you see that there's a way to try to address this so we could bring down these numbers?
So that is why I do what I do. It definitely concerns me. And I have been working within Fond du Lac County and surrounding areas with several different organizations to try to help prevent suicide and to be there for the community, both for those who may have or exhibit suicidal ideation, as well as those who have lost loved ones to suicide.
What should be done to support people who are having suicidal thoughts?
I think the biggest thing is to just validate their feelings and not bring that stigma into the relation or into the conversation. We really just need to validate the feelings in a non-judgmental way. And sometimes just sit and listen to them is all they need. And if they do really need further help, if they are suicidal at the moment, you know, getting the help using that 988 number you talked about with the national hotline, that is a national hotline that you can either call or text, or, you know, worst case scenario is calling 911.
How do you think the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is doing as a prevention tool? What is your take on it?
I really think the concept is great. I think the education and getting the word out there is still important. I know it is being used, but I think we could see higher numbers.
Hmm. Can you help us understand the stigma and the misconceptions about suicide? What issues do you observe?
Yeah, so I think this time I can bring in my personal experience. So almost 6 years ago, my oldest son, Ryan, died by suicide at the age of 30, leaving behind a 7-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And at that time, suicide really was not in my vocabulary, which really shocked me personally. Being an ER nurse by background and EMS, I faced it every day, but it wasn't something I really openly talked about, even with my growing adult children. And so it made me realize that it's time we normalize this conversation, just like we normalize talking about drugs, alcohol, and even sexual relationships.
I'm so sorry for your loss. How did Ryan's death affect your perspective on mental health and suicide?
So with his death, he did not have a diagnosed mental illness that we know of. So it really alerted me to the fact that so many people are suffering. In fact, 1 in 5 people, according to the CDC, most likely have a mental health issue. And over 50 to 70% of them do not seek help. because of the stigma. So it really alerted me to this information and allowed me to go out and start doing presentations in the public. I start as young as fourth grade. I have been certified through NAMI, a National Organization on Mental Illness, to provide these kind of talks to the fourth graders, eighth graders, high school. And then on my own, I've taken it upon me to talk to college students, hospitals, law enforcement, and even churches.
We're talking with Sue Mitchell-Metz, who is a community advocate in Fond du Lac and a death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist. You can join the conversation. Call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234, email ideas@wpr.org. Sue, what was that journey like over these 6 years? How did you and your family heal in the aftermath of Ryan's death?
I can tell you it's very individualized. I actually witnessed this through myself, my children, my husband, and my granddaughter, as well as extended family. For me personally, I think I did not realize I was not healing for almost the first year. Others saw it in me and saw that I was going to a really dark place myself, and I didn't even realize it. I knew I didn't care if I was here anymore, but I really did not have thoughts of hurting myself. But my family physician thankfully saw that and kind of extended a help in giving me ideas that maybe I should look at therapy and medication, which together they have literally saved my life. Extensive therapy I went through. My daughter at the time, she was 22 years old when he died, and she turned to drugs and alcohol. So I struggled with that and was trying to help her through that and keep her alive. And she is, I can happily say, 2 years free of drugs and alcohol, come this November. My youngest son, he was 20 at the time of my son's death, and he up and moved to Utah thinking he could run away from the issues, and realized a couple years back that wasn't the ability either, or the right way to cope. So he learned that he had to also face the issues and work through them with mental health help. And then my granddaughter, children grieve very differently than adults, and they grieve sometimes in little spurts. And then as they go through the different age categories, so school age and young teenager and such, they go through different grieving types as well. So I've learned that with her, that I've had to share the story. And I said right away to her mom that I want her to know the truth in the ways that she can understand them from day one. I did not want to hide the truth because I wanted her to feel like she could come to us if she start having any of these feelings and emotions that she didn't know how to work through. So from day one, we told her her daddy took his own life. I'm not sure we used the word suicide for maybe another year or two till we thought she understood that concept. But we did many walks as a family to support suicide loss in mental illness, and we included her in all of it. So she wears shirts proudly and talks about her daddy all the time to all of her friends and family.
Thank you for sharing all of that. You also sought further education in this area as well. What made you go that direction?
I did. So, after my son's loss, I did learn that lived experience brought a lot of credential to the plate when talking to others. However, you still always have those people who may say, but what makes you the expert? So I really wanted to have that if I was going to do the education and public presentations and really support those in the community. I wanted them to know I really understood in both lived experience and education. So I did go back to school. I did receive a second master's. And that one was in thanatology, which is a study of death, dying, grief, and bereavement. And after school, I actually took a national test. So I am a certified thanatologist, which means I am a specialist in death, dying, grief, and bereavement.
We have Sue Mitchell Metz with us. As she said, death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist, a survivor of suicide loss. As we learn how to talk more openly about suicide, how to save a life, you can be part of this discussion at any point. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The number of people who died by suicide hit an estimated record high last year, according to provisional figures released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We meet a community advocate in the Fond du Lac area with lived experience approaching this topic with care and compassion. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share a perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sue Mitchell Metz with us, a death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist. Sue, talking about your presentations on mental health for fourth and eighth graders in the Fond du Lac schools, what are you seeing and hearing from students with the willingness to talk about mental health struggles and suicide?
So I was a little leery going in the very first time I did this, knowing my granddaughter at that age was not very talkative to people she didn't know. And so when I went in, I was amazed at their willingness to talk and ask questions and concern, and really wanting to know how they could help their friend and make sure their friends were okay. They wanted to make sure their friends were not going to hurt themselves. So it was an amazing experience when I go in there.
How did your talk and presentation differ from fourth graders versus eighth graders?
So fourth graders, when we talk about mental health, sometimes I'm not sure if they completely understand the term. So I like to bring it down to what I call brain health. So we talk about heart, and they always do like jump rope for heart, you know, for heart month. So we talk about the brain as an organ and talk about brain health. So we share a lot more that way with education. By the time we get to eighth grade, we know that they understand the concept much better. So we're able to really dig deep into the concept of suicide and the warning signs, what to watch for, how to help your friends and watch for changes.
Warning signs, you've emphasized the importance of mental health screenings in schools. What do you hear from students in these mental health screenings?
So when we talk to them, usually they like to first talk about others, and we have to bring it back to them. And so as we do screenings with these children, we find out that, you know, a lot of them have a lot of things they suffer through both at school and at home, bullying and either dabbling in drugs and alcohol, or even drug use and alcohol use by eighth grade is more prevalent. And sometimes it, you know, is from, you know, we often think like single family homes and homes where parents are working or the kids are alone. And we're finding that is not necessarily the only families that are suffering. We have home kids that are coming from homes with a mom and a dad in the house full time, and they still can suffer from depression and different mental health issues. And so we really are trying to get every child screened.
Some studies point out that LGBTQ plus people have higher rates of factors that increase the risk of suicide. And as we see states attempting to put more restrictions on transgender people in particular, what effect could that have on this mental health issue?
Yes, we are seeing that those in LGBTQ do prevalently show higher rates of mental illness. And I think it is because they don't understand always what their feelings are and how they, you know, for instance, are born in a typical female body, but feel like they really are a male, etc. And then their friends don't accept them. And so then they just feel like they don't belong and they may get bullied. And I just think there's not enough support for this group. We're getting better and we're acknowledging, but I think that we need to acknowledge as a younger age.
What do you say to parents who worry their child is too immature to talk about suicide, not ready for a screening?
Given that my granddaughter was 7 when her dad died and I had to have the hard discussions with her, I don't think anyone is too young. If we're going to talk about drugs and alcohol, which we do start at a very young age with say no to drugs, we start with talking about our heart health. In kindergarten, we jump rope for health. So we just have to start talking about the brain as an organ and make it normalized, and then just continue the discussion to their understanding ability as they age.
Just perhaps a little bit of nuance here. What does the school districts that you go into, what do they do with the screening afterwards? How is that handled?
So there's a couple different things that can happen, depending on how they score on their screenings. We do have in Fallon County schools that I specifically work with, we do have in-school mental health professionals that will provide additional care and support. And if we believe that they need additional help or potentially family counseling, we do make referrals out into the community so that we make sure that they're being taken care of. And then we follow up and to see if their needs have been met and if there's anything more we can do. So we don't just leave them at that point.
We're talking about suicide with Sue Mitchell-Metz, a Fond du Lac community advocate and a death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist. You can join the conversation, call in with a question, or share a concern, 800-642-1234. Sue, last year, more than 500 suicides involved the use of a firearm, and the State Health Department reports that the number being the highest in 30 years. How do you discuss guns?
So, again, depending on the age level, I mean, we always talk about that children should not touch guns, and that we hope that parents have them locked up. We frequently, if we do like a education fair, we will have somebody there that provides free gun locks to the public and to gun owners. But again, we just open it up and normalize it. We don't keep anything back.
I understand you also make a point to share your personal experience with suicide with law enforcement. Why is that?
So I do share with law enforcement because I just feel like we need to make sure that anybody who comes in contact with those who may be suicidal have the proper training. And we know that often for a suicidal person that law enforcement are involved and they are the ones we call when we call 911. That's who responds. So I think the information to them is very important that they understand somebody who is suicidal and what they're going through. My son personally had that interaction with law enforcement, and I feel that there may have been a break in the system in that he was not considered a threat to himself at the time he expressed that he was suicidal and that he was allowed to transport himself to a mental health facility in a neighboring city. And he didn't make it, unfortunately. So I just really want to educate everybody who might come in contact with those that suffer with mental health issues because they react and respond differently than those who are in an emergency situation, such as a medical emergency other than mental health, and potentially fire or car accident. Those people are looking for help. Those who are suicidal can fear others who might be coming at them and telling them what to do rather than trying to sit with them and explore what's going on.
Turning the attention to you in our final moments here, you didn't realize that you weren't healing. Your family physician was able to see that. How did treatment help? Did that help to move you to a new place, a better place?
Oh, yes. So, like I said, I was in a dark spot. I just didn't care. It was okay if I was here on Earth side with my children or if I was on the other side. And I am a person of faith, so I believe in heaven. So I didn't, if I was in heaven with my son, I knew I'd be with somebody that I loved very dearly. And so through therapy, I actually went through a process called EMDR, which really helped me to be able to process my thoughts and my emotions so that I can still think of my son and even think of his death, but it doesn't create that extreme emotion and anxiety and panic attack provoking emotions that I was experiencing.
Sue, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Sue Mitchell-Metz is a death, dying, grief, and bereavement specialist in Fond du Lac. If you or someone you know may be considering suicide or is in crisis, call or text the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Those three digits are 988. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.